All right. Sup, sports fans, and welcome back to Low Expectations, the Kruger Golf Podcast. Tonight you've got Haley.
Hey.
Kiki.
Good evening.
And me, Beth. We're back from a brief hiatus, but we have a really amazing comeback for you tonight, and some pretty spectacular eppies coming out the next few weeks, too. This one will actually be hitting shelves on the eve of our first big outing since 2019. I wrote 2021 there, but I said it right. Girls on Greens, our all-ladies spring outing, one of our four marquee outings of the year, and we're really, really excited. And also, I'd be remiss if I didn't mention, it will also be Kiki's big 30th B-Day. So, Kirsten, a warm happy birthday from all of us here at Kruger Golf.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
So, everybody, if you see Kiki, say happy birthday to her. And if you don't see her, maybe just reach out and say happy birthday to her personally. Anyway, tonight is going to be a really good one. We're assuming that a lot of people listening to this episode are already familiar with our guest. But it is the one and only Ikarito himself, Neil Schuster, of golf media giant No Laying Up. So, Neil, welcome.
Thank you. Good evening. Haley, Kiki, happy birthday.
Thank you
for having me. I feel like you kind of set the expectations a little too high for me. I thought we were in low expectation territory here. That's the only reason I agreed to come on.
I'm so sorry. I know. Well, I mean, this is pretty big, and I think that probably a lot of people listening will be listening to hear you. So we're excited to have, you know, such a sought after guest.
Well, I appreciate you having me on.
Which we'll get into your star status. But for those who don't know who you are, though, how would you describe yourself?
Wow. What an icebreaker. I would say I'm 31 years old, and I'm a tremendous Schwaldo. You know, I try not to take myself too seriously, but I try to take, you know, like what I do somewhat serious, and I enjoy, you know, doing the No Laying Up stuff, and I like playing golf, and yeah, it's been a good run so far. So I don't know if that's I wish I had a better mantra. I need to work on that.
I'm surprised that you don't have a mantra, actually. But also, in all fairness, when we ran you through the questions, we didn't
that was ask not
that
it.
One. And that should have been one that we gave you time to prep for.
Well, that's okay. I need to, you know, it's like the elevator spiel. I feel like you know, or the cover letter. You got to have one ready to go, right? Well, Jen, how would you answer that? What would, you know, how would you describe yourself?
Well, I have a mantra, which is Jen for the weekend, Jen forever. And it's kind of zen, you know?
Yeah, that's really good.
I thought of that in 2010 and never really looked back, and also don't really look too far into it, you know? I've never really described it accurately, but that's what it is.
It means everything and nothing at the same time.
I'm going around the room. Haley, what would yours be?
Oh, shit. I don't have a tagline, but...
I don't have a tagline.
Yeah.
I don't think most people do. You guys.
I mean, Jen kind of makes us look bad because that is her tagline, and she's had it for 11 years now.
A good tagline is, I think that's something I got to work on.
We all do.
We've learned something already.
That's our homework, yeah.
Yeah.
Kiki, you got nothing for me?
I got nothing. I really don't.
But doesn't that suck when you ask a question and then you don't have an answer for it? I think, like, I did that, like, in when Randy and I were doing Strapped in the Northeast. In the first episode, I asked him, like, you know, what's your favorite Fish song? And then, you know, he gives an answer, and he's like, well, what about you? And I'm just like froze. I was like, I don't know. I like them all, man. You know, this guy got nothing. I don't know. Like, you gotta be prepared when they throw the interrogation light back on you.
We didn't know Jen was going to ask that.
I just thought of it because I was like, oh, everyone already knows who Neil is. But I was like, but what if they don't? You know? And we try to answer all the questions for all the people on here.
Yeah.
Well, all right. So that's work to do, homework to do.
Well, I think throughout the episode, they'll probably get a better sense too. So don't stop listening because we have a lot of questions. So we said this was a big week for us. It's also probably a pretty big week for you because you probably already know that this is the last week to nominate somebody for an Emmy. And I have been trying to drive this bandwagon that Strapped deserves an Emmy. So I'm glad you brought up Strapped.
Well, it can't. It's not on TV. Right?
No, they have a YouTube category.
Do but
it's
really?
Not called a YouTube category. I didn't get, there were a lot more categories than I anticipated, so I didn't get through the entire list, but I'm pretty sure that it's got to be a limited series or something. You know, a few years ago, Netflix and everything wasn't included either, and then they had to do that, so I feel like YouTube series are in there now.
Because I was thinking it was like aren't there Webby Awards? Like
there
same
are
thing
Webby.
For
oh. Yeah.
Internet
Have you guys
stuff?
Ever been nominated for a Webby?
No, I mean, I think it's pretty, you know, we're kind of just we're doing our own thing over here on the corner of the internet, right? And I think we could probably be better, if I'm being honest, at like self-promotion, which like, you know, it's hard sometimes because we do a lot of content and you don't want to, you know, like one of my New Year's goals was to share more on social media. And I just don't naturally do it, right? I just don't feel the need to do that, and I think I do want to do it more, but then I just overthink it, or it becomes like a little bit of a snowball or a monster in my head. Yeah. But you know, it's I just sometimes I look at when I used to be in like you know at in the business world or selling software, like you're on LinkedIn a lot, and people are just like, God, they're just writing paragraphs about like what a life-changing promotion they just had. I'm like, dude, I don't fucking care. You know, like, and I don't want like, so I kind of overcorrect to like, well, I'm just not going to say anything. and then put some stuff out in the world that you hope people like, that we work really hard on. And then, you know, hopefully other people will be like, hey, that was really good. And so that's kind of, you know, the feedback is awesome. It's just like hard to like put yourself up for something like that.
Yeah. Yeah, which is why I think the fans should be carrying that torch, you know? I think it was after the first episode of the most recent season that I was like, I watched it, I was like, damn, like, that deserves an award. Like, that's just good, it's just good stuff.
Well, I mean, you know, you're a former Low Expectation guest, DJ Pi deserves a ton of credit, you know, from the twisted mind of DJ. But yeah, I think the three of us, we all really enjoy it, and I think that comes through on camera. We enjoy planning it. We're planning the next one, undisclosed location. I don't know if I can.
It will be
somewhere in the U.S.
Question.
But it'll probably be, you know, sometime in the next month or two. You know, so we got to get back on the road though. It's been, you know, it's kind of been a busy month or two, and we've been trying to get some processes in place over here, just like on our. We got a lot of other stuff in production. So DJ and I are working on getting our kind of like content library and the archive. And we got these like souped up hard drives we're trying to sync up. And, you know, it's very boring, but also could unlock some efficiencies for us. Hashtag jargon. yeah. So we're trying to get, you know, more efficient, and then we're going to come out swinging.
Love it. Well, we love Strapped. Strapped is, I think, far and beyond our favorite content from the No Laying Up crew. So we do want to get into it a little bit, ask some questions about it, because you guys have 9 seasons, which is really kind of a lot.
I forget. Actually, DJ and I were driving back from Pinehurst, and we were talking about it. Like, what's the arc? What are we thinking? And it's just like, yeah, we want to do like all 50 states, but we're like, man, wow. We kind of forget. Like, I think we were counting them up in the car, and we were like, we kind of thought we had 8, and they're like, oh no, we have 9. So yes, it has snuck up on us a little bit.
Yeah. And I think for those of our listeners who maybe don't know about Strapped, I want to give a little quick overview. I want you to give a few sentences about what it is that you do. So it's a budget travel show. You want to explain what some of the rules are?
Yeah. So it's a, budget travel show, and my large associate, Big Randy, and I have $500 between the two of us to play 3 rounds of golf and stay 2 nights in a pretty much a random city in the U.S. And there's a few rules. We're not allowed to trade on the NLU name in advance of the trip. We can trade on our own names and we can barter while we're there, but we can't, you know, hey, can we get a free round of golf? Or, you know, we can't set that stuff up in advance. We can pay and set up tee times in advance, which we've, you know, part of the planning, part of, you know, a lot of experience, 9 seasons. We're getting better at planning, getting better at working within the budget. But yeah, the goal was, the point of the show, I think, was early on in No Laying Up's, arc, you start getting access. Like, golf is very exclusive, but then once people know that you know, like, you're not faking it, like, that you know how to play golf and you know the rules and you're not going to embarrass them, they a lot of people want to welcome you to their club. And not so much me, but more at that time, my brother and my other associate, Solly. So we were getting a lot of invites to places that, you know, you wouldn't normally get them. And so we got some feedback actually on our message board, I think, that was kind of like, yeah, that's great. You know, Chicago Golf Club, that looks awesome. But like, I'm never like, I'll never play there. It's not relatable. So, you know, DJ was, I think he and Randy were discussing it and we're like, you know, we should do something on the other end of the spectrum. And then I was still working at Google at the time. Then they kind of looped me in and it became a really nice chemistry of almost like improv sometimes. It's like, yeah, and we should do this. And you know what else? We should do this. And what if we did this? So it's kind of like we're all throwing ideas out and building off of other ideas. And that's kind of how the made up rules came about of like, yeah, we've got $500. Okay, cool. Where should we go? Well, I've never been to Iowa. Let's go to Iowa. Like, have you ever been to Iowa? No, I've never been to Iowa. I don't know anything about Iowa. So then, you know, it kind of just naturally then, I guess I think the fun of it for me is it allows us to be very curious, like follow a curiosity, like follow a, you know, an idea without like, but it's in this sandbox. So you know that, because sometimes it does get, you know, you don't want to be like slumming it, like it gets tiring. So it's like, no, I got 3 days. This is an adventure for 3 days. Like, I don't want that to sound like a, you know, yeah, but we do, we parachute in, but it's like for those 3 days, like we have set these rules for ourselves and we're going to follow them. And I think that we try to, you know, stick to them as much as we can.
Yeah. I mean, it's really fucking funny. It's like really, really hilarious. So you've been to a bunch of cities, Tallahassee, Peoria, Baltimore, and Reno are some of them. So you said you're trying to go to all 50 states. Has that always been the plan? Or like how were some of these early season cities chosen? Like where do you decide to go?
Well, the first one, Iowa, was literally like point at the map. Randy was like, what about Iowa? We're like, I've never been to Iowa. So it was like, cool, let's go there. And then the second season, sometimes it kind of like second season, I was training for a boxing match. So I was like, guys, I'm not ready to do a strap. They're like, well, we'll come to you. So they came to New York and we went up to, you know, Massachusetts and Vermont. And so we knocked off three states there, Connecticut, Massachusetts, Vermont. So maybe in the future there's multi-state episodes like that. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, we decided New Orleans just because I'd been, but I hadn't really been in a long time. And I didn't know anything about the golf in Louisiana. And it felt like it was in February and it was like, we got to get somewhere, you know, south. So sometimes it's weather dependent. And so like, yeah, most of the time though, we try not to set too much up in advance. Like Baltimore, what had a lot to do with Kevin Van Valkenburg, the ESPN writer that we played with, but we try to make sure it's not just like, okay, this guy's going to host us for golf for 3 days. It's like, no, we want you to give us pointers and we want to hang out with you, but we also need to like, you know, at least for a day or two, like we have to find our own way in the city. So we try to, I think some episodes or some seasons lean like heavy on the Sherpa, as we call them, the kind of host. And then others, we're kind of forced to find our own way. I think that the one that's coming up is going to be very much us finding our own way. We're in Tallahassee, we had great Sherpas.
Can you give us a hint where you're going?
You know, I don't.
I'm gonna get in trouble.
I don't want to ruin it.
No. All right, fair enough.
Good journalism, Kiki.
Yeah,
I try.
You almost had me though. No, I would say it's west of the Mississippi.
Well, yeah, we really love it. Okay. We would encourage
a little bit, right?
All of our Grutter Golf girls to check it out if they haven't. And actually, Neil, we ourselves are pretty experienced with budget travel, budget golf. It's been, you know, mostly what we've done. And exclusively what we've done.
Unintentionally, that is our brand.
You know, so we were wondering if you would maybe, you know, think about seeing us on an episode of Strapped, because, you know, that's something that we've thought about.
I think we could be good Sherpas.
I mean,
yeah.
Well, I mean, what would you say the areas are that you guys are...
I think you guys should go to the Cape. Well, Jen's been talking about going to Myrtle Beach, like a Kenny Powers type of Myrtle Beach Strapped episode, I think would be our proposal.
I think Myrtle Beach, I've been, I mean, it has some serious Strapped vibes. We could, you know, knowing the big guy, he'd probably be like, let's just make a mini golf round to, you know, count as one of the three rounds. I think the overarching goal is we want to have a Strapped where we don't play any golf, right? Where that's kind of like the, you know, like past the Dutch, like, yo, ho, what about that, you know?
Saves you a lot of money, too.
Yeah, exactly. You know, like, what if we just got into some weird stuff and we didn't even have to play golf and it was still good? But that's like the, you know, that's kind of just a joke between.
I think we would watch that.
But Myrtle Beach is almost like too much of a golf destination already.
Yeah.
Okay. I think what I like about Strapped is it makes me go places, one, I've never been, or two, nobody else thinks about as a golf destination. Mm-hmm. But then you're like, actually, man, that makes a lot of sense. Like, you know what? Like, next time I go to New Orleans, maybe I should play golf, yeah, right? Like, that, there's a course right in the center of town in an old park. You feel like you're in Europe. Like, that's awesome. You know, so that's what I think it like, a good example of that was Baltimore. I had not good vibes. Tallahassee, too. I'd never been, and I've just thought, like, okay, these places are hot or run down, or, like, why would I go there? And both places I left, and I think very fondly of both cities. So whereas, like, whenever somebody's beat me over the head, like Myrtle Beach, with like golf marketing, like, come here, golf mecca, it's like, no, man, that's not, you know, the Strap boys can't get hosed by marketing. That's not what we do.
Okay, that's good to know. Yeah. So we'll
not, I didn't sense. We'll get back. Idea. We'll
know that. That makes sense for us, because we also, like, we don't know enough about golf to know where the places that are like classic golf destinations even are, you know, aside from, like, you know, the big nice places. Like, I knew that Myrtle Beach only because I signed up for like some sort of catalog or something, and they sent it to me, and I was like, oh, it's this type of location, you know, like,
yeah. Myrtle Beach has like grimy, to me, it calls, like, I've never,
like, Kenny Powers.
Grimy bachelor parties.
Yes. Right?
Like, I've never been to one in Myrtle Beach, but that's what I'm thinking. Like, you know, I associate it with Hooters, like, if we're being honest, okay, right? And so, like, that's, you know, just kind of how Myrtle Beach is marketed to, I think, like, they market the golf, and I feel like they market to men. Is that fair? Like, or it sounds like
definitely.
You're though.
I'm thinking of one specific campaign, and yes, definitely fits that bill.
So, anyway, sorry, so, Kiki. We'll see. I feel like I just nuked your.
No, you didn't.
I nuked your pitch. I'm sorry.
Those were good points. So we'll come back to you with a better proposal.
We got to think outside the box a little bit more.
I think so. You got some roots in upstate New York.
Yeah, we do.
Yes,
upstate New York is on my short list.
Ooh.
Skeen Valley
would be great.
I was going to say, we can take Skeen Valley. That's where we got our start.
Like, it blows me away how big of a state New York is. Mm-hmm. It's like, I don't know, fourth or fifth largest state, and like very, like, there's nobody in Western New York. It's like very not densely populated. Mm-hmm. And so I just kind of think about, and I, you know, lived in New York City for a while. I didn't spend hardly any time upstate New York or Western New York. So I'm curious about the golf up there. Sounds like a place too. And I really like this about certain places that cherish summer. Pretty much anywhere in the north, right? Where it's like, oh my God, you got to take advantage of it. Like, I feel that way about golf in Canada. I played up there for like a week, like 4 or 5 years ago. Everything feels like it's public because it's like, yo, we've got 4 months. Like, everybody grab your sticks. Anybody's welcome to come out here and play, mm-hmm, because like there just isn't enough time to like be exclusive. So I like that vibe.
Yeah, we like the vibe up there very much. Skeen Valley, well, I think, would be great.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Listen, we'll take that offline. Okay. We'll take that offline.
Right.
But I appreciate the interest in Strapped. I'm glad it resonates. Like, it makes me, that I would say that that's the it. How do I say it? Like, doesn't get old. I'm not sick of doing it. Let me put it that way. And when you say you've done 9 episodes, and like, you know, there's some, you know, guys, trolls chirping on social media, like, oh, they're all the same, like, they're starting to become very templated. It's like, well,
what?
I mean, a little bit, but like, I still enjoy doing them. Like, I don't think we do them, it's not like we're doing one every week, you know? So it's almost like this, you let 3-4 months go by, and then I'm itching to get back out and like, where should we go next, you know? It's fun to, those trips are very fun to dream up, because like, you really have to work within the sandbox that like we basically made up.
Yeah, and I think it's a great golf show for the non-golfer too. So that's always something that we look for in our content. You know, it can be enjoyed equally among those who know what's going on golf-wise and not. It definitely passes that smell test. So
God, Randy would hate hearing that. He's trying to shrink the game.
Oh, I know. Well, yeah, but
when he hears that, he's like, "Oh God, I'm growing the game. This is bad. I can't be a part of this anymore."
That.
Yeah.
Well, so one thing that people have said is that golf is really a game against yourself. And I feel like this is a recurring theme for you specifically, actually, throughout all of the no laying up content, whether it's Strapped, whether it's Taurus Sauce, whether it's Wild World of Golf. But I think your mental process has been very fascinating to watch. So how would you say things are going this season in terms of your mental game? Where's your head at?
Well, macro, since I started doing this, things have gotten a lot better in my golf game, but I lose sight of that, right? So I think when I started full time, I was an 8 or 9 handicap, and now I'm down under I'm right around a 4, and then I was down to like a 2 for the end of, I was playing really well in 2020, but then I take a step back, right? And so your handicap goes up 2 points, and you're like, oh my God, like the sky's falling. And I just, since I was a little kid, I've always been too hard on myself in any sport I've been playing. And I think, in a sport like football, that can kind of serve you well, because then you can just get mad and kind of work yourself into a frenzy and go make a play. It can backfire there too, though. But in golf, it just doesn't work, right? Like I get pissed and then I get really negative. Like I would say this, I realized it in that recent Wild World of Golf with Solly. That was the first time we've had mic packs, like where they were like on our shirt, like, we're up in our process. It's made a big difference, in filming stuff. We can shoot stuff from farther away. We don't have to be by the shotgun mics on the camera. And I just picked up even a lot of stuff that got cut on me just under my breath, just dog cussing myself, like, fucking idiot, just like, nice putt, jackass. Like, and it's, this mic picks up all of that. And I'm like, man, that is really, that is illuminating, like just consistently the whole round, I'm just like telling myself I suck in like very diverse ways. And so that I'm trying to work on that, but I've been working on that for a while. And it's that's a tough habit to break. So
what a wild reflective tool to have, to hear yourself an entire round. I cannot imagine if I had to listen to myself mic'd up for an entire round. Like,
that'd be torture.
I think I would check myself into Passages Malibu or something.
Well, like, it was just like all these stuff from you finish out like a 2-footer and like the camera's elsewhere, or like you're walking away and just like, man, fucking stink. it's nobody can hear me. Like it's not like I said that to anybody. I'm like over 15 feet away on my own. I'm just muttering to myself. That's not, I don't think that's super helpful, if we're being honest. So I need to do something about that. But overall, if I zoom out, like my golf game is pretty good. I just put a lot of pressure on myself to go out and like play better every day, which is just not going to happen.
Yeah. Aside from listening to like audio tracks of yourself on a round, has there been anything that's helped you, either on the course or after a round or before a round, to like wind down and center?
Asking for a friend.
I would say one thing, I've kind of gotten on board with Randy. It depends on the round, but I don't drink as much during golf anymore. And, here I am having a cold beer talking to you all, which nobody loves a cold beer more than me, but I kind of find that if I wait, I like it now kind of as a reward at the end of a round. Now, if I'm in and I think that's because I'm walking a lot more. Like whenever I play here in Jack's, I try to walk. I try to kind of use it as an excuse for like, oh, I got some exercise in. And I just don't like to drink while I'm walking. If I have a cart, then I'm probably going to have a cold beer. Who's not, right?
Yeah.
But I think that's one thing that's kind of helped. I think that's helped my golf game, because then it becomes more about like the sport of golf as I'm walking and like trying to, like I'm trying to, like I'm here to play golf. I'm not here to like, just get like kind of zooted or whatever. what else I've realized is that I get a lot of heat for course management, and rightfully so, because my course management stinks. I probably try to pull off like the hero shot. But what I've realized recently, and it'll be a part of some of the next film room video that's coming out. We just did one with DJ where he took all the flag sticks out, and mine is I'm trying to, the concept I'll tell you is I'm trying to break par from the red tees at Jack's Beach with a special guest caddy. And I think within that round, I realized something that really has stuck out since. And it's that I have a bad habit of overcompensating. Like, people think that my course management is because I'm not thinking about anything. Like, I'm stupid. And I don't think it's that. I think that I'm almost out overweighing variables. So I'll get on the tee and I'll be like, it's, you know, 220 yards, or let's say it's a 200 yard shot and there's a bunker short, right? And there's nothing but grass behind it. And I'm like, oh, well, I just don't want to hit in that bunker. So instead of just hitting like 4 iron, which would be like right over that bunker, or hitting 5 iron, which would get me, if I hit it good, would get me right over that bunker. I'm like, no, let's hit driving iron. Let's not go one club up. Let's go 2 clubs up. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like let's just take that bunker completely out of play. And then it's like, well, yeah, dude, but then you're just going to hit it over the green. Like, what are you thinking? You know? And well, I'm going to try to hit a cut. Well, why don't you just try to hit it normal with a 5 iron? Because that, and just aim, you know, like take a conservative line, you know, like, and that was kind of, I don't know, enlightening, because it's like, I'll get so focused on one variable, like, oh my God, this bunker, I can't hit in this bunker. And then I'll just do like, you know, I'll overcorrect basically away from it or whatever. And then it's like afterwards, you're like, yeah, why did I hit driving iron? Like that goes like 230. What the hell am I thinking?
Immediately,
you know?
After you hit it, you're like, that wasn't the play at all. That was the wrong idea.
Well, no, but immediately after, it's like, well, yeah, I did clear the bunker, so that was good, right? But I know that, I don't know, that probably sounds really stupid, but I just think that that happens to me with the wind too, where it's like, you're like, all right, I got water here, but, and then it's almost like I spin myself out of control thinking about all the different variables, and it's like, oh yeah, well, it's into the wind, dude. Like the most important one, you like, you know, it's always like, oh, you forgot about me, motherfucker. God, of course. The wind's the most important thing. Like, I forgot about that. So, I just overthink it, you know? But it's not, I guess the frustration I get when I take heat for the course management stuff is it's like, God, he's not thinking. It's like, no. It's the opposite, man. I should think less, you know? I should have just gone, like, just, yeah, pick the club, like keep it simple is basically what I need to do more of. So,
yeah.
Sorry, long-winded answer there.
Hey, oh, that,
a couple
but
of things. Welcome to, you guys wanted me to lay down on the therapy couch. Here I am.
You got it. Mind. I love it. And I think that could be your mantra, though, too, is keep it simple. Maybe that would help you.
Oh, Haley, simple. That's his mantra. That's great.
That's not bad.
We knew it would come
back. That's not bad.
I tend to overthink a little bit too, especially over the fall. And on Friday, I tried my luck at bringing my pug puppy Leonard to the course with me, because I was like, oh, this will be cute. You know, he'll just be asleep in this bag the whole time, because he was napping in a bag. And I was like, oh, this is great. Like, I'll bring him, and one person will be in the cart with him, and one person won't. We'll be hitting. And so we get there, and we're, you know, a few minutes late because, you know, getting the baby together is a whole thing now. And we get up there, and first of all, there are no carts left. So no carts at all. So we're going to be walking. So I was like, all right, I'll carry the duffel bag. This will be fine too. I step foot onto the like first tee, and Leonard has no interest in staying in the bag at all. So he's like going batshit crazy, like a gremlin, like freaking out, eating grass, like really like requiring all of my attention. And we also got paired up with another like couple of young bucks that were probably just like, what are you doing?
Oh God. They were probably like, oh shit.
Well, the whole time I was like, listen, I know this looks kind of crazy, but like we thought this was going to be a little different. So you just didn't really think it through. And, yeah. But surprisingly, I feel like I was hitting it okay, because I had only like 2 seconds to actually just hit it and then get back to figuring out where the pug was, you know? And I was feeling pretty good, but you know, we could only play 5 holes because it got pretty exhausting. You know, picking him up and unhooking him from the bag, and then like making sure the bag didn't fall on him when I hooked his leash to the bag, when I like stood it up and everything. And it was a whole thing, but you live and you learn, you know?
I've got this image of you out there just being like, let her heel. Let her get over here. No,
well, what I say to a lot is, excuse me. Excuse me, Leonard. Oh, he's like wondering why.
Is he waking up?
Yeah, he's poor Lenny. Around.
That would have been a good scene. That sounds like a classic Muni scene.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Well, it's Franklin Park.
Oh God, the girl. You know, she just. Which one is it?
Franklin Park. So William Devine in Boston.
It's like the one of the city courses, and there's a zoo right next door to it too, and it's also a public park, so it gets pretty wild. There's like a barbecue party happening in the parking lot like all throughout the summer, which is pretty fun. It's a fun atmosphere. So I figured they wouldn't have cared about a puppy.
That sounds like a good vibe for Leonard.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, they're not like allowed, but I don't think that they care.
I thought about one other thing that's helped me a little bit with my golf game. And you made me think of it like pre-round, is like you never want to have too good of a range session. That's always a bad omen.
Hmm.
And so I've tried to prevent the range session by just like one, putting and chipping. If I chip and putt before the round instead of, you know, hitting a bucket of balls, I play better. I think that, you know, I need to maybe I need to track that more closely. I almost think about it like when the analogy I've used is when I read before bed, I sleep good. Yeah. Like when I read a book.
Same.
When I look at my phone, I don't sleep good. Mm-hmm. And I feel like hitting range balls is like looking at your phone because it's just like, it's like too much. There's too much like
stimulation,
glowing brain. Yeah. You're like, oh my God, I'm hitting it great. Like it just gives the opportunity for things to, for your mind to start setting high expectations, which we don't do here.
We do not do that here.
And so it's like, yeah, make sure you stretch and get loose but like get some feel in your hands. Go chip, you know, go hit some putts. Like, and when I do that, I just seem to get off to a better start. Plus it also means that I don't have to get there really early, you know, because I don't really like that golf takes too long. I never have. So the fact that like it takes at least four hours to play, oh, but why don't you tack on an extra hour if you want to go, you know, get loose like the pros. Like, and then, you know, you have a beer afterwards. We're looking at a 6-hour extravaganza. Like, that's, easily, you know, yeah.
Minimum.
I don't care if you love golf. That sucks, right? My day is gone. That's not good. Mm-hmm. So, anyway.
All right.
I like
that's
that.
That's some good feedback.
I mean, we want to start getting the course earlier anyway, but I think with enough time to putt and chip is a lot more of a baby step than, you know, a full range session, which seldom happens.
We rarely make it there in time to go to the range. So the putting, I think, is a good first step for us.
Well, the chipping, I think, too. I've noticed that if I go chip specifically, it almost helps me get like the face, you just get used to the club face squaring up on the ball.
Mm-hmm.
And then it just basically the swing just gets longer, you know. You kind of, it almost like simplifies it. And then you just kind of,
Neil, you know, keep it simple.
Keep it simple. We got it. That's it.
You're not even trying.
The mantra. You got to keep the mantra simple.
Love it. All right, you want to switch gears?
I was trying to find something enlightened, you know?
That is enlightened.
Like, that is.
You can carry that to a lot of things. Yeah.
That's zen.
It is zen. So we want to switch gears a little bit. We want to talk about the birdhouse, which is the NLU rental property at Sweetens Cove in South Pittsburgh, Tennessee, which we made a journey to in the fall of 2020. And we just want to hear, you know, we've heard that's your baby. We want to hear sort of how that came about, you know, what made NLU decide to get into the real estate business? What do you have planned next, if anything, either for that property or maybe future properties? We just want to hear it all.
Yeah, I've kind of Tron, my associate and older brother and I were pretty bullish on the birdhouse, but it was a like everything around here, a group decision. 2 years ago now, I think we've been up to Sweetens, I don't know, the first time I went up there was like 2016, so a long time. And every time I went up there, I just remember thinking like, you know, it's kind of a hassle, you gotta stay at a motel. And then you go in and there's all these houses on the road in, and then there's some like right in the parking lot. And I've always thought and finally said out loud like 2 years ago to some of the other guys, like, why, you know, somebody should buy one of these and like, you know, rent it. And then we were up there for like Zach Blair's tournament. He's a pro golfer and runs this tournament called The Ringer. I think that was the first one. And we're playing down the first fairway and there's a for sale sign in this yard. And it was like, you know, this crappy, it's probably the ugliest house in America, but it's like,
no.
It's like a fortress up on this hill.
It is a fortress.
You know, and it's like, it's a good lot. It's a, you know, it's a good like high vantage point on a floodplain, which is great. It's like 100 feet up. So that's good. So we don't have any flooding issues like the course does. And it's kind of secluded and it just felt like, oh man, that looks like an HQ up there, and it's for sale. And we get back around you know, this is like the first round of many that weekend. And, you know, I think Solly and DJ came in and said the same thing. Like, you guys see that house was for sale? We're like, dude, we're already thinking about it. Everybody was kind of on the same page. And then it was very much a, you know, we got in touch with the owner. You know, I've never bought a house before. So it was, there were one or two false starts where it was like, you know, ah, man, we can't really like get that kind of money together right now. And then, you know, I said to the guy, I was still kind of bullish on doing it. But I'm, you know, it's probably a good decision we didn't. This was 2019, the summer of 2019. But I said to the guys, I said, all right, if I go and find some people that want to partner with us on it, would you be open to it? And they said, sure. And so, you know, you just kind of, you kind of keep, I don't want to say selling the vision, but you kind of talk, you know, I went out to dinner with a good friend and he was like, man, that's a great idea. Like, I'm interested. And he's like, and I know a friend of mine would probably be interested as well. And so that kind of, you know, all right, like we got really drunk. And then like a couple of days later, I was like, hey, do you remember that conversation we had? He's like, I've been waiting for you to text me. I was like, all right. So then then you get on the phone and then you kind of talk it out. You kind of outline a plan. And then, yeah, the guy that owned it lived there for, I don't know, 45 years. His name was Horace. Oh, wow. And he was a executive at the Sequatchie Valley Cement Company, which was a big, they used to own the land that the course was on. And unfortunately, he passed away from cancer about 2 or 3 months after he sold it to us. He wasn't in good health when he was selling it, but he stuck to his price. It'd been on the market for like 2 years. He knew what he was kind of sitting on with the course. And he's like, I'm not dropping the price. And we were like, that's fine. And so, yeah. And we named the basement. There's all these pictures on the wall in the basement of famous Horace's in history. And there's no, like, I need to put a sign up that says like Horace's place, because it's like Horace Grant from the Bulls and like Horace Greeley and Horace Mann, and Horace, like the Roman philosopher.
I had no idea there are so many Horaces out there.
I spent like 2 or 3 hours looking them up. There's not a
Horace
lot.
Horace is a good
name. I'll tell you that.
Yeah,
Horace
is a good name.
Horace is a very powerful name.
That's a strong name. I'd love
carry
to
carry some weight.
He had this guy was, so he, we had a friend of ours that lives in Birmingham is also kind of, you know, in on the birdhouse with us. His name's Brett. And Brett lives in Birmingham. He kind of handled a lot of the like on-site stuff. He helps me with like the property management because he's like 45 minutes away. And he dealt with Horace. And Brett, you know, Brett's got a southern accent. And Horace, you know, Horace was a handshake man, you know. He said, now, Brett, you know, if you give me, you know, X amount of money, I'll put a new water pump in and I will hold this. My word, I will hold this for you until the end of the year. And apparently he got like another offer and said no. And so I think someone offered like more all cash or something. And this guy was like, no, I already made a commitment, which he didn't have to do. It was kind of like a gentleman's agreement.
Yeah.
So we were like, God, you know, we found out about that like after the fact. And so we decided to name the basement bar and hangout spot the, you know, Horace's place.
That's
in honor of him.
Wow. What a good dude.
So
we didn't make it to the basement when we were there, but next trip, we'll make sure we run out the
whole
place.
Upstairs is nicer. Don't worry. You stayed in the right spot. Downstairs is more of a kind of a bunk vibe, but it's cozy and it's got a night like a dartboard and we put in like a bar, you know, so
we
it's got
darts.
A good hangout vibe.
Yeah, we're big dart girls.
Well, next time, I mean it works for it's for like smaller groups. You can sleep like 4 to 6
or we
down
can
there.
Just bring a
or
bigger you can, you know, group and get bowl.
Yeah,
or you can bring a whole squad.
Yeah. I think that's our vision is more people.
And get 10 to 12 in there, which is great. Yeah. I mean, the thing I like about the birdhouse, I probably went, you know, so we bought the place and then it was kind of like, all right. And I just, I bought everything, you know, all the mattresses, like every bit of furniture in there. It was a big time team effort, but just kind of quarterbacking all that I thought has been and continues to be a really good, I don't know, just like experiment. I feel like it's a skill now. It's like, cool. Like if NLU just dissolved, like I could probably run an Airbnb property or something. You know, like that's one more.
It's a great way to diversify your resume. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm toss serious. And it's like just figuring out how to, okay, but there's no trash service up there. I got to talk to the course and I got to get a handyman. And there's just a lot of like little stuff and you just have to think through. And I like kind of working with my hands and fixing stuff. And so I probably went up there like 7 or 8 times last year and it's not convenient, but once I'm up there, it's just like, it's truly like a way for me to like, all right, I'm turning off the, you know, the interwebs are off and I'm going to just grind on this, you know, whatever, putting a putting green in the garage or whatever I'm doing that week. So, Yeah, and I think that's one of my favorite things about NLU in general is just like we're able to kind of like be curious and say like, you know what would be really cool? It's like, well, let's just do it. You know, like we've kind of had a mantra here is if you say, you know what would be awesome, or if you know what would be cool, it's like, don't say that. You should just do it.
Wow.
Like take an action step. If you think that would be cool, then you should do that.
You know what that reminds me of, girls? Is Let's Jack Walsh It.
It does. It does.
Which is a mantra.
One of our friends one day was like, oh, like, I wish I had a grill. And then he went out that very day and bought a grill. And we had just never seen anything like it. We were like, wow, you're not going to just talk about that for the next 6 months and, like, say, should today be the day? Because that's usually how
we all do.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what everybody does. Exactly. And it's just kind of one of those, and we try to, even when we have, like, meetings and stuff or, you know, we're doing, like, planning stuff, it's like, we try to stop each other. It's like, no, don't say that. Like, what, if you, why is that cool? Or what can you, what do you want to do about it, right? It's like, don't. Because then it makes it feel like, you know what would be cool? It more sounds like, you know what would be cool if you did, mm-hmm. right? And, you know, it's kind of like we're all kind of equal partners in this business. So it's like, don't put that on somebody else. Like, if you think that's cool, then you need to spearhead it. And so I basically made that, you know, the birdhouse. I was like, I think this would be cool and I'm going to handle it. Whereas Randy fucking hates home improvement. He hates it. He also hates,
for some reason that doesn't surprise
absolutely
me.
Hates the drive from Jacksonville to Sweetens Cove. It's like this awkward 7 or 8 hours, you know? And I love road trips, so I don't really care. My parents are in Atlanta, so I'll stop and see them. It's kind of like a good excuse for me to get home.
Yeah.
And then I'll drive another 2 hours up to Sweetens and then, you know, pass through on my way back. And Randy's just like, every time we make him go up there, he's like, once he gets there, he's fine, but he's just like, fuck, man. Like, I don't want to put together IKEA furniture. I don't want to do this. You know, he just kind of, it's a funny place for, to take the big guy. So, but I said, I don't need you to do that. I don't need you to do that. I just need you to sign off on right. me, you know, using company money mm-hmm. to do that, right. you know? Cause I think it's a good investment and I think it'll be a ton of fun. And I think like, you know, the people will really enjoy
right.
it, which
you're
it sounds
right.
like, I think people yeah. will like it. And I think, yeah, it seems oh, like it's been good so far. So
before the
but
end it's a, of the,
but property ownership, I will not to cut, sorry.
No,
cut
no, you're good.
But
you're
like
good.
Property ownership is totally, it's just one headache after another, like the water pump broke, you know? And it's just like, Brett and I are like, man, okay, well, who do we call? Like, we call like the local hardware store. It's like, do you guys know any plumbers? You know what I mean? Like, it's like, I have to figure out, I don't even know who a plumber is. I don't know how to pay him. I don't know when he's going to come. I've got guests in the house. It's like, oh man, you know, like I got a million other, like, so you got to be careful with it. But it's been a good learning experience.
Especially in those, like in South Pittsburgh, Tennessee, like pretty rural area, you know, it's not like you've got your pick of the litter of like plumbers or even hardware stores, right?
Well, I think one thing that's like very important to remember is like Sweetens Cove is a huge reason that it's been successful. Not only because that's why people go there, obviously, but because of like they have a big time community vibe. Mm-hmm. Like they're like, they have a membership, even though it's very public course. But they've got guys that like have been around since the beginning when that place went bankrupt like 900 times, you know, like they were close to closing like 15 times. And so there's this group of guys and one of them was our contractor, right? Like a guy that lives up near Nashville. And he was just like, we met him, you know, doing like at that same event. His name's Justin. He caddied for me in the Wild World of Golf at Sweetens. And I didn't even know he was a contractor, but he's like, hey, I heard you bought that house. Do you need some help? I was like, yeah, sure. And it's like, turns out he's like a fucking awesome contractor, you know? And he was just like, I was like, I want to do a flagpole. He's like, all right, cool. I got a guy. Like, he just thought it was fun. You know what I mean? And it was like, he kind of appreciated that I was trying to do it, like, not on my own, but like, I wasn't outsourcing it to some property management company. And I think he thought that was cool, but also was like, this guy's, he's screwed. He needs help. So I think it was like a combination of like pity and just
and respect,
like, you know, having fun.
Yeah.
You know, so that's, it's great. It feels like the birdhouse very much feels like a team effort, right? And like Matt, shout out to Matt Adamski, the GM, like he helps us now with the grass and like just making sure that people that are staying there are having a good time. Like, you know, so it's very symbiotic. Like they, you know, the course is a separate entity, but like they obviously want people to have a good stay when they're there.
Yeah. We definitely got that vibe from Adamski.
Definitely got that vibe. Well, Adamski's doing a great job at welcoming everybody. Yeah. We felt very welcome.
Yeah, with the whiskey, yeah. Well, one thing that I really appreciate is the picture, the hand-drawn picture that the Gruder Golf squad left in the very, very posh laundry room bathroom.
It took me a really long time.
That was appreciated because that bathroom needed a little personality, not going to lie. In there with the laundry room and all the towels and just like,
well, it looks like OCD labeling all the bins before I'd call it a bathroom, because it's really a laundry room with one singular toilet in it.
Well, exactly. And so the place is only two full baths for four bedrooms. And I said, you know what? You got 8-10 guys staying here. Like, I don't want to get vulgar, but you're going to need, you know,
that's an amenity.
You're going to need another toilet.
A necessary amenity.
You know, and then we had to put two bathrooms in the basement, and then, you know, it was like, where's the septic tank? You know, like, is it down? I hope it's in the front yard, so it's going to flow downhill. Like, all this stuff. I'm so new at home ownership that I was like, what? Like, what are we, you know, I just need another bath. I just need another toilet. They're like, well, like, you can't, it's not that simple, man. You know, now you start to see how
that simple,
like, how costs add up, because then you got to throw another, like, they got to run another pipe under the garage or anyway, sorry, I'm digressing big time.
No, that's all right. Neil, you're basically a real estate developer now. So that's another career
option. Well, we'd like to do more of them. I got to figure out, like, you know, we can't – that like I said earlier, there's so many unique headaches involved in the real estate stuff that if you're going to scale something like that or, like, do another one, you got to, like – that's when you do need to think about, like, all right, well, we need to have, like, a property management – person or layer or something like that. So I don't know, to be determined, but I think there's something to, like, golf trips where if you're going with a big group, you don't really want to stay in individual hotel rooms. Mm-hmm. And there's all these resorts in remote areas popping up, and, like, your only option is to stay at the resort, which is usually just, like, a, you know, a hotel, which is fine, but, like, man, it would be nice to, like, stay somewhere where 8-10 people can hang out and has some character. I think that's kind of our goal with the Sweetens house.
Yeah. Success. Good job.
Mission accomplished.
Good.
Yeah. We wanted to touch briefly on the year of the process. So for those of our listeners who listen to the No Laying Up podcast, I mean, our favorite episode is the end of the year episode where you come up with the year of the blank. And in 2021, you decided it was the year of the process. And we have actually seen this play out multiple times throughout our conversations in the last few months, planning an event, and your reactions to things are, hold on, wait, let's think about this from a year of the process perspective. We've just really seen it play out in real life. And so we're wondering if all of the year of are so impactful. Do you really live by this so much?
Well, I would say this one is probably the most beneficial one we've had. You know, I don't know if year of the gottening was words to live by. I don't even really know what those mean. And I hope I didn't say, like, let's back up and look at this from the year of the process.
But I forget exactly what you said.
No, you just would say multiple times, like, we're doing this thing. It's year of the process. And we're like, no, dude, we know. We listened to the episode. Like, we know what it is. But you describe it every time. We're like, wow, this is really fascinating that, like, it's real, you know? Like, was year of the unsubscribe real, you know? Like,
year of the unsubscribe was real for some of us. I think that should be an ongoing mantra. No, I think that the process stuff has been great. I think it came about because we all got a little burned out. I think COVID had a lot to do with that. COVID kind of, in some ways, was a really good thing for us, because I think we may have been, if there was no COVID last year, I look back on the calendar and it's like, God, we would have been fried. Like, we were doing too many. We had too many trips on the calendar. We were trying to do too many, like, one-off videos that we had scheduled out. Like, it kind of canceled probably 3 months of, like, travel that we probably shouldn't have been doing, and kind of let us, like, you know, get focused on other stuff. But then it's like we were able to ramp up the content, like the podcast stuff, so much, which was great. But then it's like trying to keep up with that pace. It's like the video stuff with DJ, right? Like, you know, Strap's great. Like, I'm involved in the planning. I'm heavily involved in the filming and, you know, the production, though. It's like, it's not like, all right, you know, like it isn't this way, but it feels a little bit like, all right, great show, guys. You know, I'll see you in 3 months. But for him, it's like, you know, he's about to go spend like 95 hours editing it, you know? And so like, that's tough when we have a backup of Taurus Sauce and Wild World of Golf and all this other stuff that we want to do as well. So it's like, how do we, okay, cool, let's hire somebody. Well, then that's even like, oh my God, like the last thing any of us have thought about since leaving like corporate America is like, I don't really want to manage people. Or we've said that, but like, you know, we brought on Ben and Cody are now helping us out and they've been awesome. But like, in order to get them involved, we had to come up with like, what do we want them to do? And then like, for instance, Ben helps me with the merch. I had to take like all this stuff that was in my brain. It's like, you know, how do I run customer support? Well, a lot of it is like very much like, how do I feel that day? You know what I mean? Like, so I had to come up with like, how do you respond to this stuff? Well, I respond differently every time, but I guess I need to come up with like a general, like guidelines here. And it, you know, it turned in like 12 pages for like when he came on to help us of like, cause there's a lot of different, like there's a lot of like patterns that pop up, mm-hmm. but like you got to also have a judgment call, like, you know, and how do you handle this and that? And so, doing that, it's like, all right, cool. We did it a little bit for the merch. Well, you know, I got to help Deej do that with the video stuff. Right. And like, then that'll allow us if we can get, you know, some help with stuff like Crash Course, which are a little bit more formulaic, where it's like, you know, they're shorter videos. It's very, you know, we're answering 5 questions, you know, what's the course? Where is it? Like, what do you like about it? Favorite hole? What'd you shoot? You know, parting thoughts. And then like, let's mix in like some unique stuff to each place. That's something that like, if we teach the editor or come up with like the formula, we can find someone to do that, but that takes like time. But it's like, we never did that in the beginning because we always had I definitely had a bad habit. I know DJ did, of just like, well, I can just do it faster myself. Right. Like, oh, I'll just get it done. And then, but that's just like, that's how you burn out. So that was kind of where at the end of the year, and then DJ and I both got COVID and Randy. And so that was no good. So then like we were really burned out, and then it was like, all right, maybe we need to start fresh in 2021 and like figure out how we can, you know, cause what I want out of this whole like operation is just like, I want it to be sustainable. When people are like, what do you want this to be in 5 years? Like, I hope it's, you know, kind of similar to what it is now, that we're still doing like what we're still able to like go and cover and play golf where we want to play golf and like find interesting people and places. What I hope is that I'm not burned out doing that in 5 years. And I think that if it's almost like Deej and I have said it before, like when you're on a, you know, when I left Google, it was like, oh God, fuck meetings. Like, I don't need those. Like, you know, like one-on-one, forget it. Now it's like, man, you know what? Like, if you use them right, those are really effective. Or like, oh man, like I don't need a calendar, you know? Well, guess what? It sucks when you double book yourself on like 2 things you really like want to do or you said you were going to do. It's like, maybe I should be more disciplined with my calendar. So that's the kind of stuff that we're trying to get better at. And I've found that if you embrace the year of the process, and if it's your idea, like to do the process, and it's not someone else telling me, maybe that's just me, it's not someone else telling me to do it, then that stuff is not like, it's not as much of like a pulling teeth activity as it used to be.
Yeah. Very inspiring.
Wow.
So very inspiring.
Sorry.
It's a lot of food for thought.
I don't know. You have to hear really the process. Well, I'm deep in it.
It's funny because literally, so that podcast we were talking about that came out today that we were guests on, it's called Life Her Way. So if after this one you're hungry for more, go give it a listen. But one of the sound bites that she chose for the beginning of it is me saying, you know, like a lot of Gruter Golf is just biting off more than you can chew. And you know what? That's business. And like, I heard that and I was just like, oh, a month after I said that, that's just haunting me because it's just very eerily true.
Yeah. Well, that's another like part of the process is that, you know, I watch a lot more golf than I used to. And I watch a lot more golf than the average person. And I watch a lot of golf, but I don't, the analysis of golf is not something that has come supernatural to me, mm-hmm. But I think it was because for a long time, I was trying to pretend to be like, it's like, no, just share your thoughts, right? And so a thing that helps me with that is, even though it sucks, you have to listen to your podcast. You know what I mean? You have to go back. It's like, it's on the Sunday. I haven't been on the Sunday recap in a couple of weeks, but like the last one is like, all right, I got to listen to this because, and I'm going to probably hate it, but I have to, you know, realize how much I'm saying like, or
so hard.
You're rambling. You got to stop. You got to stop cutting off Tron, or like, you don't have to jump in right there, you know? And that's the only way you become more conscious of that stuff. It's definitely not the, you know, guys on the internet telling you, you suck. That doesn't stick with me. It has to come from here. Just like the scheduling stuff.
It's come from within.
Super valid. So we did want to ask too. I want to be respectful of your time as well. Do you have a stop at any point too? We've only got a couple left, but
no, let's go. I got 15 minutes.
Okay. Cool. So you alluded a little bit that, you know, NLU is grown so much, especially over the past few years. We'll get into a little bit of you leaving corporate America in a second. But what I'm most interested in is, how do you deal with the fame? Because there are a lot of people that are probably listening to this consider you to be pretty famous. We kind of consider you to be pretty famous, I would say, because like there's a weird, and I'm sure you get this when you meet people that have listened to the pod or like seen the content, that people feel like they know you already and you don't know them. So is that weird?
Yeah.
Is it weird for someone to like kind of pick an inside joke with you and be like, oh yeah, like, hey.
I don't think it's weird. Is not the right word.
Yeah.
It can be weird. I think it's, it's like one part, like, yeah, it's definitely a thrill. You know, it still gives me a chuckle, right? Which is good. Like it's always, it's kind of like, you know, like just kind of like, what a world, you know? Oh, you listen to that, huh? Really? You know, like it still surprises me, which is good. And so I don't find it like, and yeah, like I don't think famous is the right word. Like I think, you know, maybe, yeah, like niche in a very weird, like niche way. But what you said about the people knowing more about me than I know about them, sometimes that is difficult in a like a event setting or a real world setting, because it's like it's hard, you know, I want to be natural, but like yeah, there's just like, it's like an unbalanced relationship where like I don't feel like I can reciprocate like the detailed question that I'm getting from someone, because I don't know, like, yeah, what was that like when you and Randy were like, you know, when Randy was snoring and you know, that episode of whatever. I was like, I don't know. Like, have you like slept in the same bed as another guy? Like, what is it like when he was snoring when you guys were on that trip? Like, I don't know who that is, but I don't, you know what I mean? Like, you can't really relate, and I can't like reciprocate sometimes. So that puts you, it makes you feel like you're not being like as outgoing or yourself, which never feels good, right? You want to be, you know, it's like, and you don't want people to feel like, oh man, like this guy's not, you know, he's not talking or whatever. So I'm getting used to it, I guess, is the answer.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's definitely a thrill to, I think for me, the thrill is like not the, I don't get a ton of juice from, like I said earlier, like the sharing, like it's not like I want the adulation. I think it is very rewarding though to put something that you're proud of out into the world and then have people like it. And on the flip side of that, like when I used to be in sales and I worked for a couple startups, one of them which I was selling a product that didn't really work, which is not a good feeling when you're putting something out into the world that is like not good and you're getting bad feedback, like that is devastating. You know what I mean? So I feel like really that's the reward for me of like, I'm very proud of this. And so if there wasn't a ton of great feedback, I think I'd be very okay with it. But the fact that there is like, yeah, that's great. That gets me jacked up.
Wow. Yeah, that resonates. That's cool. Have you ever met anybody that's famous?
I mean... Yeah, you know, famous is a very abstract term, right?
That you've considered to be famous?
Yeah, that's a good question. Like, who's the most famous person I've met? Who's the most famous person you've met?
Okay, give me
a
chance to think about it. I saw Julia Stiles walking on the street once in Boston.
But met, I mean like conversed with,
oh,
right?
Because okay,
I've seen famous people. And that doesn't count to me. It's like, that's not a, to me, it's like, yeah, you saw the famous person.
Honestly, like, I don't think I've ever talked, like, I've had a conversation with a
Michelle
famous person.
Michelle Wee, we talked
this,
to.
Oh, Michelle Wee. Yeah. Well, that's in the context of this.
We
this
met
podcast,
her, though.
You know, like, I'm talking about, like, bumping into somebody, like, at an event or, like.
I once talked to Russell Brand. He came up to me with some finger puppets on his hand, and my mom thought he was homeless.
Wow.
My mom
so
is.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
That's exactly what I'm talking about.
My mom is a magnet for celebrities. So when we'd go to New York in high school and whatever, she just, like, found everyone naturally. And, Russell Brand was probably the one that we've had like the longest conversation with. He invited us to a show. I was 16. I couldn't go. And Tom Hanks we've run into, Jonah Hill.
Okay, so that's a lot of famous.
Does your mom go up and say, does she go up and say hi?
Oh yeah, my mom has no shame whatsoever. One time we were at dinner and Blythe Danner was there. That's Gwyneth Paltrow's mom. And my mom started waving to her to the point where Blythe Danner got up and started walking toward my mom thinking she knew her and then quickly realized she didn't and just immediately walked away. But my mom has this, you know, this magnetism about her that, you know, just attracts people that are famous.
That's lucky. Oh, I saw Louis C.K. once before, you know.
Again, you saw him or you met him?
Probably during,
well,
actually.
Because I also, okay, when I see famous people, I don't approach them because I don't want to bother them because I don't want them to hate me.
Yeah. Oh, Jen, we saw
Chris Rock.
I mostly
just look at them from afar. We did, and we annoyed him. So
Jen's in the just yo act cool act
yeah,
cool.
Yeah, just don't like do, act, don't, they don't, will don't never know that us, you
don't embarrass
saw
us.
Them.
Yeah,
we
also hover.
Yeah, we did. We followed Chris Rock a little bit, and he noticed, and he ducked into a movie theater, and then we looked through the glass to look at him, and he was looking right back at us, so he knew he was
pretending to be on the phone. He was on the phone.
I in the early days of NLU, I had a couple of like, I had one good run in at I was at a Champions Tour event. And this is like 2015, so very early on. And I was down there watching, like, with I'm good friends with Tommy Armour the Fourth. His dad's TA3, who's a
that we should know, bring up that podcast episode to talk about the fame. Weren't there famous people at that party?
Oh yeah.
See,
all right, that's a good.
We
forgot
loved
about
that.
That's a good one. Yeah.
So very much.
What? But this was before that. This was maybe like, I don't know, 6 months before that. I was at the down in Orange County at the like Toshiba Classic, and. I was leaving the parking lot. I'd been following Colin Montgomery like for like the whole back nine, and like, you know, just kind of was living and dying on every shot. He was being real pouty and, you know, very like British of him, just like just whining, and you know, he's big fat guy. He's just not having a good. He didn't play well on the back nine. And as I'm leaving, I'm in my good friend Evan, I was staying with his brother, his older brother, and he has this convertible, and we're like rolling out of the parking lot, and Monty's walking to his car, and I just said, like, you know, I just panicked. I was like, hey Monty, like, hey, great round out there, man. He's like what are you talking about? I shot like 74, you know. And I was like, we like slowed down to say that, and I was like, it's kind of like that moment Steve Carell, 40-year-old virgin, like bags of sand, like what are you doing, man? Like, you're like, I had a few of those in the old days where it was like, God, like, you got to come with some more heat than that. Like, be cool, dude. Don't be a loser. So that happens. You got to take your licks with stuff like that.
Yeah. I got to get some more confidence around these famous people.
I think the most famous person that I am, like, Max Homa, is turning into a bona fide, like, superstar.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I talked to Max a good amount, and he couldn't be any more normal. And, you know, so he, you know, consider Max a friend, which is great. And then like Micah Pushel, Push Daddy from Iration.
Oh yeah, he's famous.
And I was funny because I'd never really heard Iration, and met him, and I was like, oh, this guy's great, you know. And he's like, yeah, you know, I'm a lead singer in a band. And then I think we were out in California with him, and picture got posted with us, and my buddy Nico, my roommate from college, he's just like, you know, fullback from Boston. He's like, dude, how do you fucking know that guy from Iration, bro?
Boston loves Iration.
I fucking love those guys. Are you kidding me? You know, and I was like, really? And then I ended up going to a show in New York and like got Nico a ticket. He came down to stay with me. And they just sold out like Pier 17, like this beautiful new venue on the river. And like, I mean, the place was going like buck wild. And I was like, he's a bona fide superstar, you know, but he doesn't give off that vibe like when we're around. So I don't know. I think that's like that's aspirational, right? Like, as my, you know, profile like grows, it's like, I just, well, you've got a few good like role models or examples of like, that's, those guys are handling their business. They're just, you know, they're just being themselves. That's the whole goal. It's like, just, you know, kind of feel it in your gut. You just got to be yourself.
Love it.
Yeah. God, I feel really douchey talking about that.
Well, we made you do it, so
that's our fault.
It's not your fault at all. We asked the question. Those are great answers too.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you. Next topic.
Next question.
Off the fame. Well, actually, that kind of ties in a little bit. But I was going to bring up the elephant shirt. I don't really know how to tie it in here, but was going to ask
fame. I think that's the kind of thing famous people can get away with wearing is elephant shirts.
Oh, good. I agree. So right? Yeah, I mean, I think like you can. That made me wonder who your fashion lifestyle icons are, or do you not have any? Because again, I don't think I've seen that elephant shirt really anywhere else.
Well, it comes from my buddies and I took a backpacking trip in Thailand after we graduated from college, and they're all over the place in Thailand. And then I got a couple, I came back and, you know, lost them or whatever, went back to Thailand like 4 years later, bought like 8 of them. And I was like, God, I kind of was like, I bought them, I brought them back. And I remember being like, man, these are really loud. Like, I don't know if I'm comfortable wearing them. And then I wore them at a couple like, you know, parties or whatever. And it was just like, people loved them. And I was like, wow, this is great. Like, you can get away with wearing dumb shit. You know, it's like, it's, and I think it's kind of similar with the facial hair. It's like, I get a kick out of it. So I just think that it like kind of is a sign. I hope it's a sign of like, I'm not taking myself too seriously. Right. Like, I guess, you know, it could be like, oh man, that guy like, you know, is a clown, which is like, yeah, maybe, but I think it's funny. Like I chuckle about it, right? Because I'll forget that I have this harsh goatee, and then I'll like wake up like, whoa, like that's a lot, you know? I'm going to need to get rid of that at some point, but I'm not going to do it today. Ah, you know? So it's kind of like the shirts too. And then I couldn't find them anywhere. I started, you know, I lost one, I gave one away, whatever. And I've looked on Alibaba, I've looked on Amazon, I've looked everywhere for these elephant shirts, and I couldn't find them. So I was like, you know what? It's finally time for me to just make some, you know, and I'll just make them NLU related. And I think I've worn them in some content.
But hold on. It's kind of like, you guys don't make your own clothes. Like you, so who is making the shirts actually?
We do. We have a company we work with
stuff for you?
That helps us source. Yeah. So we'll make stuff.
Oh, I didn't know that.
We make a lot of, probably like half the stuff we make is like, you know, custom designed, right? I mean, it's not, I don't want to, we're not making Lululemon pants, right? Like there's not any patents involved. It's kind of like, no, you know what? I really like the feel of this shirt and I like the fit of this shirt. Let's combine the two, right? Yeah. So we kind of get like, I want it to be 92% polyester, 8% spandex, and I want it to fit like this shirt, and I want the logo here, and I want to add like some like little flourishes.
Like an elephant, thing little is, elephant prints.
Yeah, like elephants. And so that was a combination of like, okay, I want the shirts I got from Thailand, and I still have a couple of them. They're very cheap, right? They're like fake linen, you know, like the cotton that feels
this
like.
This is high quality. I'm looking at it right now.
But those are different. So I said, you know what would be great is if I could get those designs on more of like the slub cotton, mm-hmm. like the kind of linen. Like I still want it to be cotton, but like the ones that feel more like linen, like Patagonia makes some really good like short sleeve button down, like their material. So I'll basically like order some shirts from different companies and I'll say like, I want this to be the shirt and I want this to be the design. Right. And so then you take inspiration from multiple sources because you obviously don't want to like rip anybody off directly, which we try very, very hard not to do. But at some point it's like, yo, we're making golf shirts, right? Like I can't make it that different. Right. You know, so like you just want to make sure that it feels good and it fits and it's not overpriced is kind of like my goal. But the more we've had over the years, we've gotten more and more into making our own stuff. Because you just have one, you have more control over it. And two, it's like, you know, obviously the margins are better. You can offer better prices. Like all that stuff is great. But you got to take some big swings, you know, like your minimum quantities. And then now with like the world, you know, with the shipping and tariffs and everything, like stuff's, you know, kind of like the birdhouse. Like, you learn a lot about global trade when you're buying elephant shirts. Like, truly, you're like, Mitt, like, what, I'll Joke email points. My guy, where's our shirts? He's like, he'll send me like a link. He's like, they're sitting on a boat in outside of Long Beach. And then you look at the map, the satellite, there's like 28 ships out there. You're like, oh my God, like, wow. What are the longshoremen striking again? Like, you know, it's like, no, there's no drivers because of COVID. And, you know, it's crazy, like all these things that affect the supply chains, wow, and stuff. Fascinating. So anyway, I digress.
It's a lot to think about.
Honestly, we've learned a lot in this episode.
Very informational.
But that's the fun part of the job, right? Because it's like you kind of just you make a bet, you try something, and then you know rarely does it go exactly as you planned, and then you kind of just like, all right, well, we got to figure it out, you know. And so I think with the merch, there's only one. Early on, we made some short sleeve rain jackets, which I still will say this on the record are some of the best pieces of clothing we've ever made. Quality wise,
I have one of those.
I slaved over those things. The waterproof material, everything came out great, except I wasn't when you make stuff overseas, you have to be very specific about size. And I just said small, medium, large, XL, double X, let's go. And I don't know what human was the mannequin, but the sizing was like, way off, right? Like the smalls, like, are kid sizes. Yeah. Largest fit like smalls. They're like, it wasn't even close, you know what I mean? So it's like, I had to order 500 of them, and I'm like, oh my God. And this was early on. So it was like, you know, oh my, it's just like very, very stressful. So we had to like try to like put different tag, like take the 2XLs and make those larges and cut seams and, you know. So that's why those have been on sale in the shop for a long, long time.
I'm just a sucker for a deal. Yeah. If anyone's listening,
the size up.
I have a, and that's what I know.
I have a medium. And so that's like, you know, kind of like a men's small, I guess. I don't know. It is smaller than like what you would imagine would be like a unisex medium on your website. But I saw that it was on sale.
That was a learning moment for us.
Yeah. And it's a great.
And we thought about, maybe that's what we should have done earlier on. It's just rebranding them as like women's short sleeve rain gear.
Yeah, they're perfect for girls, you know? Honestly. So maybe just reposition them completely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We can stick like patches on them or something and make them a collab item.
Not a bad idea.
Doing the big orders. I don't know. I got to look how many I got left. Doing the big orders, though, can be very, very tedious, right? You just have to. You really have to like outline and be very exact. And then like, you know, you got a million SKUs of everything going every which way. But you didn't ask me about merch. I guess you did. You asked me about elephant
shirts. Weirdly enough, so. In the question that we had written down was elephant shirt merch process. So you just kind of, I don't know if you hacked us or what, but that was the question.
Good job.
Nailed it.
Yeah. Well, I would say, and I got to give credit, Tron is, I think we're a pretty good tag team on the merch. So early on, I kind of, you know, got the merch stuff started, and then he's a lot more detail oriented. He's really good with the fit and like the detail stuff, and I'm a little bit better with like the probably like the marketing stuff and just like the process and timelines and like the bigger, like the t-shirt orders and the hats. Like, we got to keep the shelves stocked. Like, and he's much better with like the Holderness and Born, the high end stuff. So I think it's a good combo on the merch side.
Good. Schuster Brothers.
Or the Carter
School
Brothers,
of Fashion.
Whatever you prefer.
Oh, true. True, true.
I've been called Neil Carter more than once.
Oh, that's all right. I think we have one more question until we have our last four questions.
No, but the
listen, I know how this goes. I'm good.
But yeah, those are rapid fire. But so this is the last one. We did cop something from Hot Ones, if you're familiar with that other YouTube show. But it's called Explain That Gram. In this case, we have to know why you had to learn the Savage Dance and take a video of yourself. And
it was kind of good.
It's a burning question. It was
pretty good, honestly.
Yeah. Very impressed.
That was a future on TikTok. That was the Refuge is our message board, and we solicit a lot of our best ideas from the message board. So shout out to the refugees, to the Nest members. The Pouch of Misery, we try to keep it fresh. Like, you know, there's some kind of stalwarts in there. Basically what happens, we have a preview show where we make five bets every week with, you know, nuggets, like basically fake money. And if you go 0-for-5 on your picks, and you, if you go 0-for-5 on your picks, you're eligible for the pouch of misery. And there's just a bunch of like random stuff in there that you don't want to do. You know, shotgun a beer. One of them is run and jump in the ocean and get back before filming is over. You know, you have to basically film wet, which is brutal. I had to do that one too. And somebody said, we have like a thread on there of like pouch of misery ideas. That way, you know, cause we like, after a while you're like, I don't know what else, like, cause you don't want it to be brutal, and it has to be a payoff that like we can do like in the show, like something that either we can share in the video or we can get done during the show. Like you have to wear something stupid or whatever. And somebody recommended like, I think there's a conversation going on like, is NLU going to get a TikTok? And it's like, I actually reserved the no laying up TikTok handle like a year ago, and with no intention of using TikTok, but I was like, we need to like mark our territory so that we don't have to buy this from somebody in like 3 years, right? Like when or if we do start doing it. And somebody, I think, saw it, and then they said like, oh, so one of you guys should have to do a TikTok dance. And I was like, that's a good one. And I'm an idiot because I'm always the one that loves like good stakes for a match or like fun bets, but then I'm always the one that fucking loses. So then I end up having to get the face tattoo or like whatever the, you know, what I'm always the one like pushing for like the stakes. And then I, you know, kind of self-immolate. So anyway, I ended up doing the TikTok dance. My fiance Carson was nice enough to learn it with me. She picked it up like 15 times faster than me. I was so frustrated because I had to do it on like, there's all these YouTube videos about learning these dances. And so I followed one, and this guy's walking you through it at like a glacial pace. And then you kind of get all the moves, and then you turn it on TikTok. And I don't know how, but we slowed it down. So we had like, it was on, I kept having to do it on half speed. And then I was like sweating, and that's why I'm not smiling. It wasn't fun, you know.
You're working like, very hard.
I was so focused because it was like I had almost gotten it like for four takes before that. And not only that, it was my first time doing a TikTok. I didn't know how do you get the like, so you just watch the screen and you follow the music. Like I didn't even know how like the like technology worked. You know what I'm saying? Like you have to make the screen face you, and then the music. Where do you get the music? And so the whole process was very enlightening, but by the end of it, I was ready to go to bed, which was like, you know, midnight. So, but yeah, I think I got it done. That was the one piece of feedback. Randy sent it to his niece, who's deep in the TikTok scene, and she said, you know, great stuff, except he needs to be smiling. Like that's like the whole shtick with the TikTok crowd, you know, all the kids are like, they're having so much fun. And it's like, you don't look like you're having any fun. It's like, no, I'm in the pouch of misery. I'm not having any
fun. It was really funny. We were laughing a lot watching it.
It was really a shock to see. I didn't savage, see it coming. What is it?
Sassy, bougie, and ratchet. Yeah, I think that might be that. You know what? That might be my new mantra.
Haley. That might fit better.
Ratchet for sure. That's what that dance was.
All right, so we're finally at the end, which are the questions that we ask every guest. So the first one is, what is your favorite club in the bag?
I think for like a while it's been this 21 degree driving iron that I have. I feel like I hit it really, really well. I know that's kind of a random answer, but I feel like it's a bit of a get out of jail free card when I'm not hitting the driver well, and I can still hit it. Like it's a good fairway finder for me, and I feel like I can hit a lot of like punch shots and stuff like that. And then I like my 58 degree wedge, my Rip Hamilton. I call it Rip Hamilton. He's an old basketball player for the Detroit Pistons. He never took three pointers. He was a big mid range jumper, and I don't like to hit my 58 degree full swings. So you know, a lot of mid range, a lot of elbow jumpers, a lot of board angles. A lot of I'm throwing a lot of sports jargon at you right now. So good. It would be
I've never heard
that's
of,
my one, too.
Of a 21 degree driving iron. Had no idea that was a type of club. So
it's like a juiced up three iron. Oh. So it's like a three iron with a massive sweet spot. So you can hit it, you can kind of tee it up higher on the tee, and like you don't really take a divot. But I also hit it really well out of the fairway. Because the irons I have, the Apex, like Callaway irons or Apex Pros, and they're kind of, I don't know, they're like players clubs. So the sweet spot, they're more consistent, but if you miss them, they feel like the foul ball feeling a little more. Whereas this this driving iron, this like utility club is a little bit more forgiving. Sounds, which is nice.
Yeah.
We love forgiveness.
Should consider it maybe. Yeah. Okay, next one is, what is your favorite nightclub or bar or restaurant anywhere in the world?
From any time in your life.
Anywhere in the world. Oh, man. I think I got one. It's in Whitefish, Montana.
Oh.
It's called Great Northern. And I've been there twice, back-to-back nights, and I had a blast both nights. This was 2 years ago, and it just felt like truly the best bar in America. It had pool tables, it had a live band, it like had the cowboys, you know what I mean? Like just old, like a Western saloon, but with plenty of space, and it was kind of run down, but it was very charming, and Whitefish is also awesome, and Montana's sweet. So just like the whole vibe of the place got me jacked up, because I'm like a big, you know, pony up to the bar and, you know, let's talk about our ex-wives, you know, like let's act like we're cowboys, you know, even though I'm not, like, oh, let's go smoke a cigarette because we're cool. Like, you know, it kind of had that where you could do all of that and play pool. And it was like packed with, like, I don't know, it was just a ton of fun. So I like big sprawling bars that have like some rooms for activities. Like the whole place isn't about activities, yeah. But you can kind of go back and forth between like the, you know, the mingling area, and then there was plenty of bar space, so you didn't have to wait to get a drink, which is always nice. Like I sometimes get claustrophobic in New York with just like, you mm-hmm. know, doing the whole bump and funnel thing, especially in college. It was brutal. Like you just, you know, it's like you just like basically like this the whole night, you know, like yeah. pinned against the window.
And then you get like, so, you know, two, you know, Rebel vodkas, and that's not a good thing for like, you know, a 20-year-old kid to have at the same time.
No, it's not.
Like, and that's because you had to wait so long to get it. You know, you're like, I might as well get two of these.
Exactly. You know? So then then you're loading up. Now you double fist and people bumping into you. Then you get, you know, you're spilling all over the place.
Spill half it anyway. It's a numbers game.
Sounds fun there. Mm-hmm. Should add to the list. Yes. Okay, final question. Your dream foursome, which can be celebrity, non-celebrity, golfer, non-golfer, living or dead.
God, I always struggle with this one. I said I was going to think about it, but...
you can pick a theme.
I know, that usually boils it down, but then I feel like that's like... Because I always want to give a good answer on this question.
A lot of pressure, honestly.
It is, I think, I said on the Nest Pod that, like, people said, like, who would your dream strap guest be? And I'm, like, I'm a huge Dave Matthews fan, so I've said this before, but his drummer, Carter Beaufort, would be, he's a huge golfer, and I just think, like, you know, I grew up listening to him play the drums. I think maybe it's just a drumming foursome. Neil Peart is dead. He played for, he just died, like, 6 months ago. But he drummed for the band Rush.
All right, you need one more.
Throw him in there.
You need one more.
Carter Beaufort in there. And let's throw, God, who would the third one be? Maybe somebody like, how about Lars from Metallica? Just because he's a freaking weirdo. See what he's all about. Just four drummers chopping it up, talking technique.
I like it.
I would love that. You know, because I think... two of them don't play golf, so you know, because I also think what's nice is when you play golf, like sometimes when you play golf with somebody you know is like very, I don't know, they excel at other things in their life. Like you kind of get them on your turf. Like there's a little bit of a like that can it depends on the person. Sometimes that can suck, but it can put them, it can make them more vulnerable, I guess. So then you could be like, oh, let me teach you how to hit the golf ball, but maybe you could teach me like, how do you do it? You know, how do you do it behind the set? Like, how does it work? You know, that kind
that actually
of
wraps up our theme of this episode, which was behind the music.
Yeah, we were talking about this episode as being kind of you're behind the music, you know?
Yeah. We didn't say that to you directly, but we were talking
about the title. Say that to you, but you went with the music.
Yeah.
Well, there you go. Yeah. I'm a aspiring mediocre drummer, but I still like it. So that's always a... It's a good hobby to get my mind off things.
Wow, fun. I want to get into something like that, but I don't know. I don't know when. I have this piano that I now use as just like another place to put all my shit. So, got to work on that first.
You're living vicariously through through Leonard.
Exactly. I'm living for Leonard at this point. You know, that's my whole world revolves around him.
Leonard, heal.
He doesn't know anything yet. The big thing about puppies, the thing about like a very young puppy, because he was 2 months, so now he's 3 months, but they don't know any English. They don't know what you're talking about. So it's all about diverting the energy towards something else that's productive. You know,
you guys, I saw, you know, it was on TV like a week ago that I put on. It was Dr. Doolittle.
Oh,
you
ever see that movie? Classic.
Have I seen that movie?
I will always laugh. I think that the movie's fine.
Wait, the old one or the Eddie Murphy's one? Getting
the Eddie Murphy one. He's getting the checks. You know, this is kind of peak Eddie Murphy, just like banking $30 million for showing up. But there's one scene where he's in the vet office and the lady's like, she's talking to the dog. She's like, "Lie down, Chauncey." You know, and then she turns to Eddie Murphy, goes like, "He's deaf." And then the dog goes, "I'm not deaf. I just can't stand to listen to her voice." You know, like, I don't know why that part always makes me laugh so hard, because you see like everybody talks to their dog like idiots. You know what I mean? Like, oh, you know, it's like, just imagine the dog being like, "Shut up! Like, just talk to me normal. What's wrong? Like, just use a normal voice."
Shout out to the Walshes, actually, on that one.
I was gonna say, we have some friends that use some very
speak to their dog. I talked to Leonard pretty much like a human being, because I want him to learn English eventually.
I liked that Leonard's name is very human-esque. Yeah.
Leonard, Lenny. It was Lenny first, but I started just calling him Leonard so often that it's kind of stuck. And now when people on the street ask me what his name is, I'm like, "Well, it's Leonard," and then I'll be like, "Lenny," you know.
That's
but people
great.
Said it's a good name.
No, stick with Leonard.
You know, because also
good.
He's,
I love
he's usually
that.
Sitting very formally. He looks like very formal when he sits, you know. And he looks kind of royal.
Oh yeah, his name is Leonard.
Leonard. Leonard. Like, okay, you freak. Everyone's also asking me if I just moved here, and I'm like, I've lived here for 7 years. I just got a pug puppy. Like, read the room, you know. Like, I've been here, but
anyway.
enough about Leonard.
Neither here nor there.
Neil, we really can't thank you enough for coming on. This was a blast. Yeah.
Well, thanks for having me. We got some good stuff coming.
We do.
Hopefully an event we're announcing soon.
We do.
Right? A joint event.
Yeah.
So Kiki and I have been in the lab on that. More Kiki than me, but hopefully announcing that this month sometime.
Yeah, definitely.
Hopefully. I don't know.
I mean, I think
maybe
people already know. People have been reaching out to a lot already. So the listeners of this podcast already know about it. How did it get leaked? Was it like on The Refuge or something? Or?
I put it in a newsletter. Okay, sorry. I just teased it. It's on the calendar.
We're ready
like,
to do it.
Because the date's firm.
Right,
yeah. Yeah, so we just got it. We just have an open registration.
Yeah. But people are hungry.
Mixed Troubles. Couples event. Wachung Valley, New Jersey.
Let's
get it. It's going to be great stuff.
It's going to be really fun. Very, very excited. So everybody mark your calendar, and also mark your calendar, more importantly, for when we release the tickets. But we're not going to tell you the date yet, so just prepare to mark your calendar, I guess.
But we'll give people a heads up
definitely.
What we do.
I mean, I think it's going to be easier to get tickets on the Grutter Golf side than it will be on the NLU side. So that's, you know.
I know. There might have to be some back channeling. I don't know. You guys are the pros at the event stuff, though. Seems like you're overselling events already.
We try to oversell. all right. Well, do you have any parting words for the listeners? Or
well, first, thank you all for having me, and keep it up. Keep doing what you're doing. I'm excited to. I'm excited to get some of the other NLU idiots on here.
We'll take them anytime.
You know, have them. Yeah. Have them under the interrogation lights.
I'll ask questions.
Some back channeling for you. Yeah. So.
Sounds good.
All right. Well, thank
you. Hey, thank you so much. And everybody, till next time, hang loose, swing easy, and we will see you out there. Bye. That's it.
Yeah, great.
That's all. Escape from the life I live when I
castle.